Hey, cashiers. We Have the Receipts podcast is coming at you live from Netflix is a Joke Fest in Los Angeles.
Chris, are you kidding?
No, Netflix is a joke, Courtney, but this is not one of them. Our listeners in LA have the chance to join us for a live recording of our podcast, We Have the Receipts, hosted by me, Chris Burns.
And me, Courtney Revolution.
Join us and a few surprise guests from your favorite Netflix reality shows on Saturday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at a secret location in Hollywood.
To be announced.
Get your tickets for the We Have the Receipts live show at tudum.com/WHTR. That's Tudum, TUDUM.com/WHTR.
Tickets are limited. If you can't make it to the show, we still want to hear your beautiful voice. Leave us a message at speakpipe.com/WeHaveTheReceipts.
You may even hear your own voice on the show.
Grab a ticket at tudum.com/WHTR.
And we'll see you on May 4th in Los Angeles. Bye, cashiers.
I'm just really proud of the work that I've done, and I'm really tired, but I'm never gonna let that stop me.
You're listening to Skip Intro with me, Krista Smith. Asa Gonzalez is no stranger to the spotlight. While growing up in Mexico City, she was cast as a protagonist in a popular teen telenovela. Coming of age in the public eye had its challenges, but it also helped prepare Asa for the inevitable ups and downs of the entertainment industry. Over the next few years, she captured our attention in films like Baby Driver, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, Godzilla vs. Kong, and Michael Bay's Ambulance. But it was in the wildly successful satirical comedy, I Care a Lot, where Asa broke out of the bombshell trope and demonstrated her range. Today, we're talking about Three Body Problem, the latest series from Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, and True Blood writer and producer Alexander Wu. Based on the books by science fiction author Lu Sijin, the series follows a group of scientists as they confront the greatest threat in humanity's history. Asa plays Augie Salazar, a visionary nanotech trailblazer who is dedicated to solving actual problems right now, not theoretical ones in the future. I caught up with Asa at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, right before the world premiere of Three Body Problem. This festival has marked many big moments in her career, and in a way, brought her back home, as it was the first place she decided to live in America.
I'm so sad you're not here.
I know. How is South by Southwest going?
Well, I've just gotten here, which has been incredible. I lived here for 3 years, and so it's crazy to be back. This was the first place I moved in 10 years ago. So I'm just so grateful. It's one of my favorite studio cities to visit and one of my favorite festivals. Some of the biggest moments in my career have happened at South by Southwest, so I'm very excited.
It's so awesome. What do you love about it? What's the vibe there?
It's just cool, man. The mentality of keep Austin weird is always sort of the prevalent feeling across the board in the festival. And, you know, what I really liked about South by is I used to come, even after I've had my career, if I wasn't working, I would come and sit and watch movies and hear the Q&As with directors. Some of the coolest directors come out of this festival. And so as an artist, I always enjoy just as an audience member coming. And so I come for a week and hang out with my friends and watch movies. It's the best experience.
It's so great. I was a judge once and ate my weight in barbecue and saw films.
Imagine living here. This is where I started my first, funny enough, little Netflix nugget. It was, I think, the third or fourth original series that Netflix has ever done.
Right. From Dusk Till Dawn.
That I did with Robert Rodriguez. And it's my first job ever, Krista. And I moved to Austin, Texas. And I played, obviously, the iconic Santanico Pandemonium that was played by Salma Hayek originally in the movie. And as you know, it has that like iconic dance with the snake. And you're in a bathing suit. You're in like a teeny beanie weeny tiny little bathing suit. And the funny part about that was it was winter and all I wanted to do was eat my body weight and barbecue and go into Franklin's. And I was just like suffering through it because they it was a boy heavy cast, and the boys would be like, we're going to go eat barbecue, and I'd just sit there and just like stare sadly at the food and just like dream of all these tacos. Cause I love, obviously being Mexican, I love Mexican food, but I have a real love for Tex-Mex food. So it was torture, but at the same time, I just love Texas. Texas has a very special place in my heart.
I love that Asa, it all goes back to—
full circle, all back to Austin. I was very emotional yesterday when I was walking down the street, because I was like thinking about it, walking the streets that I moved for the first time ever to America. Because I went to school in New York, but I was like in and out. I was touring. I'd never felt like I'd lived there. And here was my first home in the US. And walking down like where I would go have breakfast exactly 10 years ago blew my mind. And I called my mom in tears, actually. I was crying. I was like, I can't believe this is, makes me emotional.
And has Austin changed a lot for you?
I was texting Robert and I said, oh, I'd love for you to like just make a movie so I can come back and film in Austin. It just makes me so happy to be here. And it's an amazing, harsh career. And when it works, it's unlike any feeling you could ever imagine. It just is amazing. It's thrilling. And you're like, oh my God, I can take on the world. And when it doesn't, it feels like the end of the world. And everyone is like up to grabs on an opinion of who you are and what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right. It's just very challenging. And so to me, it just comes back to the simplicity of like the city that saw me grow, the taco place that I like to go, or like the Hop Daddy's is my favorite burger joint, or going to Joe's for a Belgian bomb. It's just the simplicity of life that really just keeps me going. And I'm just so grateful.
Mm. Well, it's so great to be there for the premiere of Three Body Problem. Speaking of Netflix and speaking of a giant series, this is so exciting because it's from the creators of Game of Thrones. For listeners, that's David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. And also we've got Alexander Wu as well from True Blood. So this is like a murderer's row of content creators. And you're playing a physicist, Augie Salazar, and you're part of the Oxford Five. So I want you to talk to me about what was it like working with that team and learning how to become a physicist. And then you have to explain to me what nanotechnology is. But let's first start with that.
So basically, Augie Salazar is this pioneer in a specific area in science. She's a physicist, obviously. She came out of Oxford University. And she becomes the first woman to create the nanotechnology, nanofibers. This groundbreaking technology that does exist is this sort of seamless laser that can break and create things. And we use it a lot for diamonds and to cut fine things. You know, at the beginning, it was daunting, Krista, I'm not going to lie. When Dan and Dave and Alex came up to me and with the idea of me playing this role, I didn't initially say yes. Really being transparent, I just didn't believe in myself. I didn't think that I could bring this to life. At one point, you start believing what you get fed. And I just started thinking, oh, I'm not capable maybe of playing a role that people would take this seriously. I was just so blessed that this role came into my life. And that change really started with Jay Blakeson casting me in I Care a Lot and getting me in a different type of role. No one really allowed me before to do these types of roles. And so I'm just really excited because I just connect with Augie in so many ways. I love quantum physics. I have always been sort of deep into quantum physics. I'm fascinated by this world. I'm fascinated by the world of science. And so this is a world that I feel very passionate about.
So are you ladies going to sing a song?
No.
No? What do you mean, like, you're not singers?
No.
All right. What do you do then? Wait, hold on, don't tell me. Let me guess, you probably are.
I design self-assembling synthetic polymer nanofibers. I started a company that manufactures them for a variety of potential medical energy and materials applications.
I believe that Augie is a representation of a contemporary 21st century woman. She is just complex. She has a real moral compass. Her ethics are her priority. She joins the field for the greater good. She's a nihilist. She really wants to bring science in the field forward in a way that it can be of positive use to the world. But at the same time, she just is very complex. And sometimes these things that we hold on so deeply are against our journey. And she discovers that because her moral compass doesn't really align with her mentality as a scientist sometimes. And the show allows us to go through it with her. And she goes into an emotional roller coaster that I think hopefully the audiences enjoy.
You mentioned I Care a Lot film. Obviously, it was on Netflix. Rosamund Pike, I see, is EP on this as well, which is kind of exciting.
She is.
But that to me was such a groundbreaking performance and moment for you. I think I actually met you about 10 years ago, right, when you were doing From Dusk Till Dawn.
You were the first one. This is a great thing to say because I have so much love for Krista. Krista was the first one to ever put me on a magazine. We did Vanities together and she believed in me and I was doing From Dusk Till Dawn. It was 10 years ago, Krista.
Oh my God, it's just amazing.
And I go back, like you're one of my first and you believed in me in a time that a lot of people weren't really rooting for Latin women the way that it is now. And you really pushed me through in your career. You've always supported me and I'm very grateful for you and I adore you.
Yeah, well, feelings mutual and I'm happy to be there and to do that. It was not hard. So Three Body Problem is based on a book. It's based on a trilogy. And I know you well enough to know that you prep. You take every opportunity very seriously. So I'd love to hear about what that was like for you from reading those books, which are enormously popular, but from book to screen for you with your character. How was that process?
I was lucky enough to read the script adaptation first because what I think Dan and Dave and Alex do very well is character development. If you focus on the work they've done, they love really big world stories. Both creators, both TV shows are quite big in scale when it comes to storylines, but they care deeply about character development. I obviously went to the source material after reading the scripts, and it really helped me. I can't imagine just like opening that book without having read the scripts because they're so complex. I'm a huge sci-fi nerd and I love sci-fi, but I also don't like when something feels like I'm so dumb that I'm not understanding. And what I think Dan and Dave and Alex do very well is like breaking it down to a certain level that you feel like you're learning, but at the same time, it's not treating you like you're stupid. And I felt very stupid reading the books because they're so science-based. The jargon is really, really intense. And ultimately, the book, we're talking about an existential crisis around the world. And the book really just exists in China. The original writer had done such a beautiful job to do so many foils and layers of what you would think ultimately is a sci-fi alien invasion. It's coded as that, but if you open it up as a political drama, it's a historic sweeping story. It's way more than one meets the eye. But the way that got adapted, it adds cultural shock because now we have people from all over the world versus just one culture. And so ultimately, the way that you were raised, the values, the moral versus mine are completely different. And so that adds an interesting layer to the story and a complexity that wasn't existing already in the books.
What are you even working on with that piece of shit?
I need a radiation sail, about 5 square kilometers in area, but with a mass of less than 50 kilograms.
No.
Everything depends on this nano sail, and there's no one who can design it besides you.
I said no.
We've got some of the best physicists in the world working on this. The resources are insane.
The last time we gave the best physicists in the world insane resources, they gave us Hiroshima.
No, I'm not designing a weapon.
Not yet.
I just think they did a marvelous adaptation in the way that people around the world can relate to all these themes individually and feels like a personal experience.
Definitely. Truth be told, I watched this series and the first one was like, okay, wait a minute, I'm focused. I got to be in on this. Once you're in, it just all unravels and you can't get enough.
I felt that way too. And I couldn't tell if it was because I'm like eager to finally see my work and all of our efforts putting together and seeing the final result or just the nature of the show. And then after a couple of watches, I was like, oh, this is just the nature of the show. And you know, that's their nature. If you're a fan of True Blood or Game of Thrones, it's like you can't blink or you miss like the most pivotal part of the story. And so I think that for people that watch their shows are familiar with that concept, the nice thing about this is that you can sort of go in and out and watch them and go backwards and forward because it's bingeable. So it's under your terms as an audience to digest the process. What I like about them as creatives, and I personally think this makes a good writer or a good director, is someone that basically presents an idea and lets the audience make whatever they want to make of it. I don't like when you get forced into thinking a certain way or you're forced into believing a certain way, especially with the subjects that are being discussed in this show. It allows for space to spark a thought-provoking conversation. Mm. And ultimately, I think even the original novel is meant to be that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. My dad was a physicist and always believed in different planes. So without giving anything away, it was fascinating to watch this and see. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, he always believed in that. But I'm going to take you back a little since you mentioned it. Since we talked about when we first met, you have such a unique story and yet such a story that the foundation of Hollywood has been built on, where you started in Mexico. And you were a teenager and your mom was in the modeling business, right?
She was a model for 18 years and then she was owned a model agency for 18 years. Yeah.
You started in telenovelas and you had enormous fame as a teenager in Mexico in that market. And you decide, I'm going to move to LA and crack the American market. You're going to crack that giant entertainment industry in, I put it in quotes, listeners, Hollywood. That takes a lot of balls. And also, you come into LA, no one knows really who you are. You're starting from scratch, essentially, right?
Also in that time, because now the internet has opened so much knowledge about the international value. For instance, we go to events and all these K-pop stars are there and it's just a phenomenon, right? Now it's like in your face. You cannot not know what's happening in other parts in the world. But 10 years ago when I moved here, it was a very humbling experience. I think it was part of the problem that existed at that time because ultimately when I moved to America, it was a complete different time. There was like a kind of a bully mentality in that sense. It was like, we don't care about who you were before. You kind of come and do the hard work. But it's the paradox of life. You can't hate whatever happened to you because it's what made you. But it was very challenging because it was quite humbling, and I don't necessarily think in the best way. I think that a lot of my work was minimized for a very, very long time. And now that I'm a grown woman, I pride myself on the work I did. I mean, I started working when I was 12 years old. The other day, they were celebrating 17 years of my career. I'm 34. Like, that's more years than not. And I love that it's changed because I do think that everything we put effort into is worthy of being acknowledged and celebrated, and whether it's small or big, and maybe for people, the biggest achievement is to be in Hollywood. For me, the biggest achievement is that I was 12 years old and I was able to do that as a teenager who had no idea. That is, to me, even a bigger achievement than making it in Hollywood, because that is challenging. I don't have the maturity, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the experience, and you're like throwing yourself into this open world of opinions and thoughts, and you're just not equipped. And so I just feel very proud of where I started. I feel very proud of the things that I achieved in my country. I feel very proud of being Mexican, and I feel very proud of my history. So it's what makes you, you know, and I'm just so honored that I've got the opportunity and grateful that I got to do it again in the U.S.
I would love to know what your confidence, you had that confidence the first time I met you, even understanding the struggle that you were going to be up against, not only being a woman, there's enough in being siloed in one direction, but also in being Mexican. And I remember you saying to me like, oh my God, I walk down the streets and no one knows me here. Like, whereas you couldn't do that at home. It was a totally different identity.
Paradox. Embracing the paradox has become sort of my life motif. The worst thing happened in my life and the best thing happened in my life. My father passed away and then I got a career. It's just always been that way. It was the death of my relationship with someone that I thought I was going to marry, have children, and my career in Hollywood happened. It's always been this paradox and it's defined my career. So I've embraced it deeply. And yes, no one knew who I was in all fronts in America, but there was something beautiful about that too. I was like, I get to be naughty and do things that I've never done before because I was a child and I was like, everything that I was doing was criticized or judged. And so now I was just like, my little playground and get to know myself as an actress too. I was lucky enough that I worked first with Robert Rodriguez, who gave me such freedom and confidence. You know, you see with who he discovered, you know, Antonio, even he gave George Clooney his first big break, even though he'd been doing a TV show. No one saw him outside the TV show. And he gave him From Dusk Till Dawn, Selma, I mean, Jessica Alba, like the amount of people that he's solely discovered is amazing. And the reason is not a coincidence. He just builds your confidence. And he really built my confidence to believe that I could take on the world. And I was with him on my first season of From Dusk Till Dawn and I had my audition for Baby Driver and he really enabled me to be able to go and film Baby Driver because I was in the middle of the show and the rest has been history ever since.
by your IMDb. I know when I caught up with you a couple months ago at the Emmys, you are working nonstop. And I'm super proud of you. It's really exciting to see. But at the same time, it's so interesting to hear. And I'd love you to talk a little bit about this, like how much you've evolved as an artist and then how your goals have changed. Like, it's amazing to see you evolve, one, as a woman and as a friend and as an artist through this industry, which you rightfully characterize as being very hard. It's very hard.
The first 5 years of my career was a complete different world. And the last 5 years, I've seen the progress of like Me Too movement, accepting, embracing other cultures, the movement around everything that happened with George Floyd. Like, it changed history. History changed within the decade that I've been here in a very extreme way. And so did my career. And listen, my biggest fear is failure. I push myself so hard. I never want to fail. But yet I've learned that failure is just intrinsical in my process. And I've been way kinder with myself. And I always think I'm doing the best I can. English is my second language. It's not my first language. I wasn't raised in this style of acting. There's so many things that weren't there for me. And I used to sort of dread it. And now I'm just like embraced it. And I think that I also had the chance in the last specifically 5 years of my life to work with incredibly collaborative directors and creatives. So that changed my experience. I think I was just like never feeling good enough. And then I broke into the industry, Baby Driver happened, and you finally feel it's happening for me, right? And then Jay Blakeson really changed it for me, casting me in I Care A Lot, because it was a broad cast. It wasn't ethnicity specific. And it was the first time that I was like, oh, I'm not being cast because of my background. It was the first time that it happened. And then I went and did other projects and I started working with really good creatives. And I've been on a streak. I've worked with Guy Ritchie 3 times now in a row, and that relationship has changed completely who I am, and the way that he's believed in me has really made me grow. And I adore Guy and I adore D&D and Alex. And so it's a journey, you know, you're learning and you're just adapting and your insecurities and your fears and you're trying your best. And I'm just grateful that I've been able to play such array of different characters now. I like look at my slate this year and I'm just really proud of the work that I've done. And I'm really tired, but I'm never going to let that stop me. My mom is like, are you ever gonna stop? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I really, unless someone like ties me to bed, I don't think I'm gonna stop. I just love it.
I think that your next decade is going to be really interesting, and I'm really excited about it. You don't give yourself enough credit for being part of that change that we've seen. You have been instrumental in opening up that stuff for other people and other actresses, and I'm really proud of you for that. Now, I have one last question that I'm asking everybody, and this one is, what was the film that had the biggest impact on you, either one that you were in or one that you watched?
It was specifically an actress for me. It was Natalie Portman. She changed the game. I was fascinated with her. I just found her incredibly talented, beautiful, smart, articulate, and she doesn't know this. I'm working with her right now, which is the most mind-blowing moment of my life. And I never find girl over anyone. But Natalie, it's pretty crazy. And it doesn't help that she's actually the nicest human being. So she, as an actress, changed my life. A performance that really changed my life was A Woman Under the Influence.
I will say Jenna Rollins and Women Under the Influence just blew my mind. That, for me, would be probably the film that I feel like watching the series of his films with her, you know, auteur
and that muse. Dynamic, that relationship, it's just this creative duo of just incredibly creative concept and ideas and just throwing things at the wall and playing and doing wild stuff. I'm obsessed. And she is just a dream as an actress.
Yeah, she's incredible.
That performance to me really like... Cassavetes just were such an intrinsical part of my career and how I looked at art, and the way that she performed in that film blew my mind. And silly enough, Tim Burton was a huge influence in my career. I just remember as a child being obsessed with his very clear creative standpoint. I couldn't believe that someone was like so intrinsically themselves. and so strong. And so I was just obsessed with him. And for years, the only thing I want to do in my life is work with Tim Burton. So it was those three pivotal moments. And then my personal career, obviously, what changed my life was Baby Driver. Both Baby Driver and I Care a Lot was like two of those movies that I just had the best time ever and never thought they were going to be what they were, and they were. So those moments, they all really marked me as an actress.
All right. It's great to see you. Have a great time tonight. I will miss you. And I look forward to the next time I get to see you in real life.
I adore you. I love you. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Three Body Problem is streaming now on Netflix. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Krista Smith, your host and creator of the show. Skip Intro is produced and edited by Isabel Arricchio and engineered by Dave Corwin. Special thanks to our coordinator, Alyssa Hillman. Please subscribe, rate, and review Skip Intro wherever you've been listening. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Krista Smith. If you enjoy the podcast, please go to netflixqe.com for more. That's netflixqueue.com.